I'm going to be reading from Mark 15, 21 through 32. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene. He was coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide which each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroyed the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross." Also, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him.
Okay, this is from Isaiah 53, 3 through 7. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned, everyone, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before it shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth."
Be reading from Mark 15, verses 33 through 41. "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly this man was the Son of God.' There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem."
So I'll be reading from John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.
Well, I had a conversation as we were getting ready tonight, and it went something like this. Well, it's Good Friday, yeah, it's Good Friday, but we're celebrating something that seems to be so sad. Seems like we're celebrating a tragedy. Well, certainly, death is discomforting. So, what is the right posture for Good Friday? What is the right perspective to have on this evening? Do we mourn? Do we rejoice? What ought our attitude be toward the death of Christ? Well, the wisest man on earth said this: it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Is it appropriate to mourn? Yeah. Is it appropriate to think about death? Absolutely. To contemplate death is, according to Solomon, to contemplate life and its value. It's not a celebration of death itself, but recognizing life's worth, enhanced by the presence of its limits. Knowing that we don't have forever. It is life's worth which makes Jesus' sacrifice all the more profound. Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." As Jesus' death changed our lives by adding a spiritual element by which we can know him. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The death of Christ and the gift that he gives to us through eternal life takes away any fear from death. We need not be consumed by any fear, but rather honor Jesus' death through our lives. And I think that's why we're here. We want God to be honored. We don't want his death in our lives to be forgotten or to be in vain. Peter wrote that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And that's how we honor God. That's how we honor and remember his sacrifice, with a life that is lived in the righteousness made possible in the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, which is the focus of our time together tonight. It is his death and our life through it that we remember tonight. So we're going to take communion together. It's a very appropriate time to do so. It's a command to remember him until he returns. And we recognize that this death of Christ not only brought unity between humans and God, it brought unity between us. So we celebrate together, a spiritual family, the death of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite our elders up, and they're going to serve you. What we're going to do is come on up one by one. Let us serve you. Hold on to your portion, and then we'll take that together after you've been served. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Father, we again thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you that he came and repaired broken relationships. We thank you that he made it possible to have a spiritual relationship with you. That's what we celebrate. So God, I pray that as we worship and go out tonight and even in the coming week, you would bring to mind often sacrifice of your Son. May Good Friday may not be the only time we celebrate it, but may we celebrate it throughout the weeks to come. Pray this in your name. Amen.